All right, let's begin. Today we're going to do two prakim. We're going to do Perek Vav and Perek Zayin. We're going to start, as I said, we're going to start a new midah, a new character trait, a new rung on the ladder of the Mesilas Yesharim. And that is Rizus. That is poorly translated again by the Feldheim as alacrity. I don't know if anybody knows what alacrity means. But basically, as we'll see, it means going above and beyond. No, that's not what it means. It means going, going above and beyond, meaning putting effort into what you're doing, meaning being eager, enthusiastic, getting up and moving, right? Getting up and moving. And just to illustrate, if we just spent the last couple of shirim on zihirus, which means being careful, so that's for the lo sase. Right, that's like the stop, look, and listen, like I'm telling my kids every day when they cross the street. So Zerizus is the opposite. Zerizus is the get up and go, right? Zerizus is the opposite to the Zehirus, right? Zehirus, as we said, being careful, that's to refrain from doing things that are inappropriate. And Zerizus is putting in effort into doing things that are appropriate, into doing the mitzvos. Right, if you just look at the Ramchal over here, right on the, if you're following along in the green book, at page Lama Zion, so he explains that, again, Sur Meirav Aseh Tov, right, the Pasuk in Tehillim, stay away from bad things, go up and do good things, and that's exactly the two things that we're talking about. That Zehirus, being careful, is talking about, you know, make sure you stray from the bad, and Zerizus, being active and enthusiastic and getting up and doing stuff, that's going and doing the good. And he writes in that first paragraph, if you're following, that there are two aspects to this. That the first thing is that there is Zerizus, there's getting up and going to start mitzvos, right? To start mitzvos, that requires a certain energy. And as we'll see later, in the seventh paragraph, he talks about completing mitzvos, which is also a crucial aspect. Many people start Daf Yomi and only a select few finish it. Many people start coming to an alumni shiur and only a select few are still going a month later. So continuing and finishing the mitzvah is very crucial, and that's also important, but we'll talk about that in the next paragraph. Okay, so he says in the second paragraph over here, starting Vizeh, that just like it takes tremendous effort to run away from Averos, it also takes tremendous effort to run towards mitzvot. So we don't necessarily think of it like that. We generally, I would imagine, talk about and think about how can I make myself better? How can I avoid bad behavior? I think we spend less effort thinking about how I can do good things, how I can do mitzvot, grab them, right? Not miss an opportunity to do a mitzvah, right? I always make fun of those. I feel bad. I always make fun of those Breslov guys running at me with a little Rabbi Nachman pamphlet. Come, tzaddik, tzaddik, take. It's they're not the fool. I'm the fool, right? They're running to teach Torah, or whatever it is, and I'm just kind of laughing at them, which is terrible, right? Again, this is the Yetzer Hara works both ways, right? He tries to get us to do chataim, but he also tries to get us to not do mitzvos, right? And in a certain sense, says Ramchal, it's a little bit easier for the Yetzer Hara to get us to not do mitzvos, because human nature is to be inert. Right, inertia is the default, to just sit around, do nothing, right? By nature, right, we're all couch potatoes, right? That's our human condition, right? So instead of getting a person to run after Averos, right, which is, I guess, ostensibly harder, right, all the Yetzer Hara does, has to do, in this case, in the case of Zerizus, or not Zerizus, right, is just to kind of make it more who we are, right? Make the person stay where they are. Right, they make the person stay lazy, just stay on the couch, just stay home, don't go out. Right, this is the advice they give to people, right, who are depressed, right, not clinically, right, like people who are having a tough time, right, just go, just get out, just get up and move, right, get your body doing something, right. If you're going to watch on a movie on Netflix, go to the theater, right. If when you're stuck in a rut, right, you guys know the worst thing to do is just slouch into bed and scroll through TikTok for 2 hours. Right, get up, go out, go running, go walking, do something, right? Just to get yourself moving. And that's what he says over here in the third paragraph. Ki teva ha'adam kaved ma'od. Man's nature is inherently heavy. Right? The physicality is thick. People don't like to work. They don't want to move. People like to be lazy. It's enjoyable to stay in bed, to not do stuff. Right? Someone who has to be Oved Hashem, someone who wants to be Oved Hashem has to overcome this. And that's the Mishnah he quotes over here in Pirkei Avos. So if you flip the page, Right? Az Kanamer, Kal Kanasher, Ratz Katzvi, Gibor Kari. Right? Those are all illustrations of moving, of those animals move fast, right? Of being strong and overcoming and doing something active. Right? And he quotes also that over here that the Chazal said, the Gemara in Brachos, right? That things require chizik. What requires chizik? What requires strengthening? So I would have thought, what requires strengthening? Running away from my taivas or whatever? No, it says Torah and Maisim Tovim. That the mitzvahs ase, right, require chizuk. Now, I understand Torah, right? A person to study Torah is hard. But Maisim Tovim, good mitzvahs require chizuk, require strengthening? What does that mean? Yeah, so it does. Mitzvahs require strengthening, right? It takes effort to do mitzvahs. Right, some mitzvahs are easy; they come easy to us, and you can daven from your own room and whatever, give tzedakah on your phone or whatever it is. But to do mitzvahs is an avodah; it requires effort. I say this all the time, and you guys probably won't appreciate it now, but to go to a simcha is an avodah. Right? To go to a shir, let's just take a simcha as an example. To go to a simcha is an avodah. Now, if your friend gets engaged or whatever it is, you're obviously going to go to the l'chaim, the wedding, etc., etc. It sounds silly, but let's say you just had a breakup, or in my case, a broken engagement. Right? I had a wedding 3 days later. I couldn't go to that. I'm not sure I should have. It probably would have been disastrous for my psyche, but that's not what I'm talking about. Maybe that's a little bit extreme. But for example, you're married and you have two kids and your friend's making a bris early on Sunday and it's an hour drive. You have to get the kids early and you ran out of baby food and you don't have any. It's a schlep, right? Sometimes going to a simcha, right? Your friends appreciate it so much when everybody comes, right? It's a big effort. It's an avodah to go to a simcha. But that's exactly the point, right? That's what he's saying, that to do mitzvahs requires effort. And then he quotes over here, this is what Moshe told Yehoshua. Right? Chazak ve'amatz me'od. Right? What does that mean? It means to be strong. To do what? Lishmor lashos kechol ha-Torah asher tziva Moshe avdi. Right? That you need to have a strength. You need to have an effort, right, to overcome, right, this, I say lazy. I don't like using the word lazy because it has the bad connotations, but this almost inert kind of heaviness that a person needs to do. And this is as much overturning a person. Let's say, you know, a person works on their midos, right? Let's say a person is angry. So they work on their midos to overcome their anger. So this is the exact same thing. And we don't think about it necessarily. And that's what the Ramchal is highlighting, that we think of like doing mitzvos is like, okay, I'll do some mitzvos. But we don't think that we have to really overcome our natural inclination to do mitzvos. And that's not true, right? Just as much as a person fights against their natural inclination to, let's say, be angry, we also have to fight against this natural inclination to kind of just stay where we are. And the Ramchal points out that Shlomo Melech writes about this all the time. If you read the writings, and I am not at all well-versed in, let's say, Mishlei, Shir Shirim, etc., but if you go through Shlomo Melech's writings, he says this all the time. Right? If you quote this pasuk, right, a fascinating pasuk, I'm on page Lamed Ches, on page 38, my second paragraph, Ma'at Sheinot, Ma'at Tnumot, Ma'at Chibok Yadayim Lishkav. Right, again, just a little bit of sleep, a little bit of resting, a little bit of closing, right, interlocking your fingers, your hands in order to rest. Right, and all of a sudden your poorness arrives, and a person you're losing strength like a person at war. Right, someone who is lazy, someone who is, I don't want to say lazy, someone who is thick and kind of just kind of stays still. He's not actively harming himself, though, right? But he's bringing bad or negative things into his life through his lack of action, right? And this is harder, almost harder to realize, because when you go up and you do an Avera, and you do Cheshbon HaNefesh, and you realize, that wasn't appropriate. So that is hitting you in the face. When you are not doing mitzvos, right, or you're not counteracting the natural inertia that person has, so that is much harder to realize, right? That happened, that lays on you, right? A person becoming more, slowly more and more inert, right? More and more lazy, let's just say, right? That's much harder to realize, right? Now, again, even though it's Pshutu Kameshmo, right? One second, that's not, I'm talking about different pasuk over here. Right, the next paragraph. Okay. Mishli Perikov Dalit, right? If you look at the third paragraph over here, right? Shlomo says it differently. He says, I passed by the field of a person who was lazy, and the field had thorns, right? And it wasn't plowed, and it was covered with all this stuff. And I thought about this for a long time, and I realized just a little bit of sleep, a little bit of laziness, etc. Now, there are two things that come out of this pasuk. And this is what the Ramchal highlights, and it becomes a little bit terrifying. But he says, again, as we've been saying, the person doesn't realize this until it's almost too late, right? The way that a field becomes unkept, right? If you ever pass by a person's front lawn, right, and it's not plowed, it's not mowed, or it's not trimmed, or whatever, it looks like that doesn't necessarily mean he left it for 6 months and it's just overgrown. It could be that, you know, he was supposed to mow the lawn one day and then he just forgot, right? And then he was supposed to have the guy come and he had to cancel, he was sick and he didn't call him back. There's a laziness there. It's not just that the guy picked up and moved and he's gone, he hasn't been here. There's a, once thing leads to another. And even though that's seemingly, right, pshuto k'mishmo, that seems to be clear, right, from just this example, he says the mashal is even worse. He says, because the overgrowth of thorns is comparable to someone who hasn't learned their Torah, hasn't chazur their Torah. It's the next two paragraphs are terrifying for rabbis. Right? It basically explains that rabbis who don't chazur, who don't go over their knowledge, they're basically going to crash and burn. And it's not that we're talking about a bad rabbi or a bad rav or a bad guy in chinuch or rebbetzin. It's just that, let's say they knew their stuff once upon a time, but they're a little bit lazy. They don't review this. They don't review that. They show up to class without preparing. So they end up making mistakes. And then he talks about, if you flip the page, right, that big middle paragraph in the middle on page Lamites, talks about the punishment for someone who is not reviewing their learning. This is more, again, for me, I think, but it can lead to terrible consequences, right? A Rav who gives he was a good student and a good teacher, but because of his atzlus, because of his laziness, right, memory becomes to fade, right? He has a line over here, the third line, he says, Ma'amad below sheyedev yargish baza, and this is what we've been saying, right? Very slowly, right, without even realizing it, person starts losing, right, where he's holding, right? All of a sudden, the questions you get, you say the wrong answers, and now you're ready, you're put together, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I'm gonna move through this a little bit quickly. But basically, the point is that if a person would have just been less lazy and just reviewed their knowledge, once in a while, they would have retained it. Okay, fine. I mean, the parallel mashal for you guys is really, let's say, for example, a person's health, or let's say you're an upkeep on your midah. Let's say you're working on, again, you're doing cheshbon nefesh. So it requires effort to do cheshbon nefesh, like the Ramchal, like the Mesillas Yesharim suggests, right? Cheshbon nefesh. I think before we started learning Mesillas Yesharim, maybe we did it before Yom Kippur. So now you learn Mesillas Yesharim, you do it once a week. Are you doing it every day? If you're doing it every day, that's amazing. If you're not doing it every day, so then sometimes it slips through the cracks. That's what we're talking about over here. That it's not because I don't want to do cheshbon nefesh, because whatever, it's 11:30 and I'm going to go to bed. I'd rather chill on my phone for a little bit or whatever, or I have to finish this episode or whatever it is, talk to my friend, etc. It falls through the cracks. That's what we're talking about over here. That slowly, right, but surely, the things that we value in terms of religiousness just kind of are not kept, and then all of a sudden I'm not doing it anymore. Right, I missed 1, 2, 3 days. This happens with Daf Yomi. Again, I just gave the Daf Yomi share, so that's in my head. But if you miss a day, not a big deal. You'll catch up tomorrow. If you miss two, all right, now I'm behind. If you miss three, so now you're done. Now you're finished. You're never catching up. Right? It's like almost impossible. People talk about this like with person's health. Right? They talk about like these silent killers. Right, not because I'm old and broken down, but if a person, if you don't pay attention to your health and you don't exercise, you don't watch what you're eating, so slowly but surely it deteriorates to a point where chas v'shalom, you need some sort of medical intervention. This is what Shlomo was saying, right? And this is because the lack of zrizos, the lack of this midah, right, can literally kill a person, both physically and spiritually, right, if they're not careful. This is along the lines of what we've been discussing up until now, right? Thinking about life, right? Not just going through the motions, not just getting swept up with what everybody is doing, right? Throwing the anchor out, saying, where is this ship going? That's step one. Step two, and just as crucial, right, is actually having the courage to do it, right? After you've decided what you want, what is good in life, right, having the courage to actually do that, that's what we're talking about. That's Zrizos. A lot of people miss step two. Step one is amazing. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing to take a stock of where you're at and what you want in life. But once you know what you want and what you know is good, right, to have the courage to take that second step and actually do it, that's Zrizos. That's what the Ramchal is talking about over here. Because most people are either too lazy or too scared to do it. And this is what the Ramchal writes. If you look at the bottom of Lama Tess, the paragraph starts, V'hinei anachnu ro'im be'ineinu. We see this in our own eyes. Like for, I'm trying to stay away from reading the actual text, but this is exactly what people do. Again, you know, right? You know that you have to do this intellectually, but you don't do it, right? You're reading the Mesilas Yesharim. You're learning about Zahirus, about being careful. You know that after the Zahirus comes Zerizus, about being, you know, being vigilant and going and doing and being doing mitzvahs. You know this stuff intellectually, but you don't do it. Not because you don't think it's true or right. It's because your physical laziness, dormancy, whatever word you want to use, dominates a person, right? That's the teva that we have. And it says the Ramchal that people will say these things and they will rationalize these things to themselves. Once a person is kind of bogged down by their own kind of like kind of laziness, so then they start making excuses. Well, just to quote what he has over here, right? Ochel kima, I'll eat a little bit. Ishan kima, I'll sleep a little bit. Kosher laila teish mebeisi, it's tough to go out right now, right? Pashati es kutanti, I took my coat off already. How is so much effort to put it back on again? Chama azaba olam, it's very hot. Kararaba, it's very cold. Kishamim, it's raining, right? All these other excuses. And sometimes they're legit, and usually they're not. Right, there's a very frightening Rashi that says that by the Mishkan, the Nesiim, right, the Pasuk says that the Nesiim brought the Avnei Achoshen. And basically, Rashi explains that they didn't bring any of the raw materials for the Mishkan because the Nesiim thought that everybody should bring whatever they bring and they'll bring what's left, right? They wanted to finish the Mishkan. They wanted, as we'll see in a second, it's a mitzvah is called based on the people who finish it. So they thought that they would finish. They're like, everybody will do their mitzvah and we'll do, you know, we'll fill in what's left. And they were left holding the bag. And Rashi says that because they were lazy, because this atzlanus, because this this midah of not getting up and doing stuff. And that's in quotes of pasuk over here, which Shlomo says again in Mishlei that is batzaltim yamech am karei v'shiflos yadayim yidlof habayis. Right, through laziness, right, the ceiling caves in. Through lazy work, the house leaks. Right, that a person has to maintain. Right, their house is considered to be right their mishkan ma'at, their small home, but the home of kedusha. Through a little bit of laziness, so there's holes in the wall, holes in the ceiling, and you have cracks already in the holy kedusha, in the holy abode, in the mishkan that you're building. My Rebbe Rav Miller, again, I mentioned I learned Mesilas Yesharim through by Rav David Miller. So he quotes a story about Rav Chaim Brisker that a student, or a talmid, went off the derech and came back to Rav Chaim with all sorts of questions, and Rav Chaim said back to him, "Those aren't questions; those are answers." And the idea was that he basically presented to him all different sorts of rationalizations of why he wasn't doing X, Y, and Z. I knew a person who told me once, a talmid of mine, he wasn't going to be from. Why? Because of Yom Tov Sheni. Didn't make sense to him. He said, it's ridiculous. Why do I have to do why do I have to eat matzah two nights in a row? Doesn't make sense to me. It was pretty obvious to anybody else who was listening that was a rationalization. What does that mean? The Yom Tov Sheni is why you're not going to keep kosher. Like, what? Okay, so Baruch Hashem is doing well today. That's not a, whatever. But that's that was an excuse. That's a rationalization, right? So very often when we are lazy, we come up with reasons, right? And this is the Ramchal writes, right? The lazy person, right? If you ask them, right, they don't think they're being lazy. They don't think they're not putting in the effort. They give you all sorts of reasons. You have to come late to davening because you're helping your parents get the little kids out, and you can't go to the shir because you take Pilates and your mind won't be clear for the rest of the week, and you know, nishmartem od l'nafshoseichem. Excuses. Just a point about nishmartem od l'nafshoseichem. The pasuk says, right, nishmartem od l'nafshoseichem, you should keep, right, make sure you keep yourself, right, literally means watch over your own nefesh. Right, people like to quote that all the time with Corona, right? With the masks and the shots or whatever people did for Corona. That pasuk is about avodah zarah, so it's not about your health. Even though I threw it out there as if like it's talking about your health, I guess literally taking the words in the vacuum means you should watch over your soul, but that pasuk is talking about avodah zarah. It's not actually a good quote that I gave you, but all right, whatever. Anyway, I apologize. Anyway, but tachlis is the person who's being lazy, so they kind of fail to realize that these is all excuses. Right? That's the Ramchal writes. A person doesn't realize. A person, the moment your inherent nature of inertia takes over, right, you're already partial. You're already impartial. No, you're partial. You're partial to the situation, right? You can no longer right give an impartial opinion. And that's what Shlomo Melech said. Again, he quotes Shlomo Melech again. Chacham etol beinav mishivetam. A person thinks he's smarter than seven other people, right? No logical arguments, right, can convince you otherwise at that point, right? You think everybody's mistaken and you're correct. So when this happens and you catch yourself being a shtickle lazy or giving, maybe you realize you're giving excuses, right? The next time that happens to you, if you're able to kind of stop and think, very often you can catch yourself giving excuses. So how do you know if the excuses you're giving are legit or not? Because sometimes they are. Sometimes your parents do need you and you can't go to this, NCSY Shabbaton or whatever. Sometimes that's legit. Sometimes you have an obligation to keep it up aim. So that could be legit. So what do? You have to ask the shayla. Right? It's crucial to have a rav, a mentor, a friend, someone to speak things out, right? To make sure that you're not being partial to your own kind of like, it's a schlep, I don't want to travel, etc. Right? You have to really think about it and right, maybe ask somebody else for an opinion. And that's what he says over here, that Ramchal says over here, that every kula, every leniency requires intense introspection. Is this kula, is this leniency, based on real halacha, or is it based on your own kind of personality? When you eat rabanut in Eretz Yisrael, is that because you kind of... I'm just messing around. You know what I'm saying. Whenever you have some sort of leniency in halacha, is that you just trying to, trying to kind of get around halacha, or is it legit? Right, you have to make sure it's not based on your own natures. Okay, bottom line, as he kind of sums up over here, on Daf Mem Aleph, on page 41, right, a person needs to realize that he is by nature inert, and that nothing will push you out of this status, out of this static energy, right, unless there is energy expended upon it. Right, there is an energy that you need to do mitzvos. Right, you have to get up and pay Chas V'Shalom a Shiva call. Right, you have to go help your mom for Shabbos. Right, I remember that one Shiva call specifically, I was extremely lazy. It was down the block. I just always had something doing, quote unquote. And by the time I turned around and realized, I should go pay him a Shiva call, it was the last day, and I knocked on the door after they'd already gotten up. Terribly embarrassed. To this day, I see the guy every single day, more or less, he lives on my block, and embarrassed to no end. He probably forgot about it, hopefully, but a person needs to get up and spend energy and go do mitzvahs, right? To go help your mom for Shabbos, to go make that phone call, whatever it is, whatever chesed you're trying to do. And just to finish off with this perek, and then we'll go to the next one, the Ramchal writes that fascinating, very often, well, he doesn't write this, but I'm just adding this before we get into it, very often we compare humans and angels in the sense that, right, what do they usually say in the Musar Shmuzim? Right, humans are greater than angels in one way, right? One way, what? In that we have an ability to choose, to overcome evil, right? Angels have no free choice. Humans have free choice. So when we choose good over evil, right, we overcome our Yetzirah and we are therefore greater than angels. What we kind of usually don't mention there is that angels are greater than humans in almost every other way. And this is one of them. And that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to go do X, Y, and Z, so partly because they don't have free will, but they also, as the Ramchal writes over here, they run and do it right away. Right? As he quotes the pasuk in Yechezkel, right? The malachim lechayos, which are the malachim, ratzova shov kamari bazak. They run back and forth like lightning. Right? They always go immediately to fulfill the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we also should strive for that level. Okay. Now, Perek Zayin. I'm happy to do, I like to do the, this is, it's good that we have a few minutes just to do these back to back because it really is a continuation, all the Prakim are obviously a continuation of the first one, but this really does flow with the previous, with Perek Vav. And he says over here that Zrizu is obviously a very crucial midah, and there are two aspects, as we alluded to at the beginning, that there are two aspects to this crucial element of putting in energy into doing your mitzvos. First of all, to get going. Right, the hardest part of getting a rocket into space is liftoff, right? You need all the boosters, etc. Once it's up there, you can, you know, have the boosters fall away, etc., etc. Obviously not a great example because there's other, the gravity. Okay, well, maybe it is a good example because gravity is like the inherent laziness in humans. Whatever. You know what I'm saying. To get off the ground, to go and start and do the mitzvos, that is step A, right? That's zrizos. You need zrizos. You need this putting in the effort so that you don't miss an opportunity. So you don't miss out on a mitzvah, right? Either when a mitzvah comes to you, or maybe you think about doing a mitzvah, right? That's a crucial point, right? If you ever think about doing a mitzvah, I know my friends having a really hard time. They would really appreciate a gift card to their favorite store or whatever. I'll get $20, whatever it is. I'll pick them up. I'll take them out to lunch, whatever it is. So do it. If you don't do it that day, if you don't do it that minute, odds are it ain't happening. So you need zrizos, you need this aspect of being, you know, get up and go, to move things from machshava to maisa, to move it from your head, right, into actions. And you also need to stave off this midah of inertia, of laziness, because the longer you wait, right, the more excuses you'll have. Right, if you'll never know what the situation will happen, when the situation will change, right, a day later, 2 days later, even an hour later. Right, I had something last week, which Baruch Hashem, everything is okay at the moment. Got a call from the guy where Eitan was, and I basically had to take him to the hospital. My whole afternoon disappeared like that. He's fine, Baruch Hashem. Right, he had a seizure in Gan, which is terrifying, but he's okay, Baruch Hashem. But you know, I had a bunch of things I was going to do in that afternoon, and obviously that whole afternoon was shot. You know, spent the whole afternoon in the emergency room, and he's okay, Baruch Hashem. He's totally fine. You know, running around, back at Gan, everything is fine. Chazdei Hashem. But things change on a dime. So if you have opportunity to do a mitzvah, don't say, I'll do it in 3 days. I'll do it next week. Right? You never know when things are just going to change just like that. So the Ramchal writes the Medrash. The Ramchal writes about the Medrash in about is it a Medrash? Oh no, it is a Medrash. I take it back. It's based on the Psukim, which is why I was a little bit confused. But basically, the story goes is that when David was dying, right? This is how Shmalachim starts. Shmuel Beis, maybe Shmuel Beis. I don't remember. Terrible. I don't remember. See, this is me not reviewing my work. Basically, that David was dying, and Adonio, his son, anointed himself king. And Bathsheba and Gad HaNavi go in and they do this whole, or Nasan HaNavi, I forget which Navi it is. Terrible. I have to go review. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to review that parak. Anyway, so basically they go in and they make this whole song and dance because David had told Bathsheba that Shlomo was going to be king. So basically, after that whole thing, David goes and tells Benayo, which one of his advisors, basically go and run and anoint Shlomo. Do it right now. Go take Shlomo and anoint him on the spot. Now, as Ramchal says, what was the point of that? Because Hashem had told David that Shlomo was going to be king, right? It was a nevuah. So basically he says that harbei kategorim yamdu mikavad gichon. Right? There are many things that could have interfered. Right? Maybe he'd be king, but by then who knows what's going to happen. So don't delay, don't slow down. So basically the Ramchal quotes a bunch of statements from Chazal that a person should do mitzvahs as soon as they can. They need this extra energy to get things started. Mitzvah haba leyodcha al tach mitzena. And if you have a mitzvah that comes to your hand, don't let it get chametz. Don't let it get turn into chametz. Don't let it delay. Don't let it get stale. Zeriza makdim in the mitzvos. Right? He has a fascinating comment over here, which I don't think I understand entirely, but that remember the story of Lot and his daughters. So Lot, obviously they thought they were in the cave and there was no other humanity. And the only way to keep humanity going was for Lot to sleep with his daughter. So basically the older daughter went first, the younger daughter went second. The older daughter had the nation of Moab and the younger daughter had the nation of Ammon. So it goes over here that Moab converted into the Jewish people right, 4 generations before Ammon because the older daughter right, did it first, even though it's a very difficult story to understand. But since the older daughter was first, so they were zochah to have 4 generations, 150, 160 years of Jewish children before Ammon. A little bit easier to understand is this mimer he quotes about Shabbos, that on Shabbos we're supposed to walk differently. We're nearly not really supposed to run so much. But if it's for a mitzvah, so then you're allowed to run run for Shabbos, right? Lo lo miyodur, it's adam l'dvar mitzvah. Afilu b'Shabbos, person can even run on Shabbos for mitzvahs. That's the idea of Zrizus. Now, the Ramchal points out over here that his Zrizus, fascinating, I almost wish he would have pointed it out last parak, but that's why I like to do it together. He parallels Zerizus with Zahirus. Now again, Zahirus, which we did the last couple of Pshurim, is being careful not to do Averos, and Zerizus is getting up and going and doing mitzvos. He says Zerizus involves breaking a person's natural inclination. Zahirus involves using a person's natural inclination, right? Zahirus to be careful with mitzvos, right? A person is naturally careful about their own lives, about their own physical self. If you notice something that is threatening your physical well-being, a person is naturally inclined to either run or to do something to counteract that. So zehirus, right, being careful about averos, is simply transferring that from your physical self to your spiritual self, right? And just being careful about your spirituality. Zrizus is more involved. It's breaking your natural inclination to be lazy. Right, that is missing. A person does not have this mida, this characteristic in them naturally. Right, you have to build that. You have to build this idea of going out and not being lazy. Right, and so he writes that as much as a person is able to acquire it, right, that's a person will be able to be gifted and rewarded, and that's in the next world. Right, lefum tzara agra. Rav Miller tells a story about Rav Elchanan Wasserman. That Rav Elchanan Wasserman was Rosh Shiva in Europe. He was killed in the Holocaust. So Hashem Yakum Damo, Hashem should avenge his blood. Anyway, so he had a yeshiva in a place in a town called Baranovich. So fascinating, in the biography of Rav Elchanan, they interviewed goyim who survived the war about the town, and they said, "What do you remember about this yeshiva?" And fascinating, they said that one of the things they said is that they remembered that every morning there would be a stampede of boys running through town twice every morning. What the heck was going on? So apparently Rav Elchanan had set up the yeshiva and the cafeteria in different places. And he made the schedule so that you could only get to breakfast and back on time from davening if you ran. So he basically instilled the boys this idea of A, being on time, so they'd bust out of shul, get the breakfast, and bust back, so that they'd be on time. And B, this mida of zrizus, right, of putting in effort, of going and hurrying, and actually putting in effort, not just being lazy and moseying on your way, moseying your way from the dorms to Nugatine to this dorm, pick up that, and come show up, and it's already 10:30, and you missed two classes. Anyway, so that's what this zrizus is. So then he says the second aspect of Zerizus, which is also super crucial. If you're following along in the text or the English, I'm on page 43, page Mem Gimel. Acha Zerizus, that paragraph over there. Achar Atzcholas HaMaisa, after you do the action, Kevin She'acha Ozba Mitzvah, after you've grabbed onto the mitzvah, Yemahar Lahash Lamosa. You should hurry, you also need effort and energy to complete the mitzvah. Right, that's crucial. To use an author's example, every novelist has a bunch of half-written novels sitting on their computer. For a better example, right, everyone who goes through Mesillas Yesharim gets to the fourth parak and stops there. Whatever metaphor you want, right? Don't just start the mitzvah, right, but complete the mitzvah. Not because it's a burden that you can't wait to get rid of, right, but because you don't want to not finish it. A mitzvah is called based on the person who finishes it, right? The Ramchal gives a bunch of examples from Chazal that David wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, but Shlomo actually did it. Right? Shlomo was praised for working 7 years nonstop to build the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe similarly was praised for building the Mishkan in the same way. Right? The timeline for building the Mishkan was so super fast. Right? They gathered the materials right after Yom Kippur. Right? It was finished in Kislev, and then it was set up in Nisan. Right? Between gathering the materials and building the actual Mishkan was like 3 months. Right? That's super fast. Right? He quotes over here by Avram. It says, Vayimaher Avram, a bunch of times, right? By Achnosis Orchim. It says a couple times, Vayimaher. It says by Rivka, when she was filling up for the camels by Eliezer, Vatzimaher, she hurried, right, to do her work without delay, right? To do it right away. That's right, Maisa Avosim L'Abundim, right? That we should, right, do mitzvahs as fast as we can. just on the next page, right? Just I went through that pretty quickly. But Vatira, right? If I'm on page Mem Dalet, Shadam. Okay, just to paraphrase, right? If a person has these right motivations, right? That motivation brings about, right, an excitement and an energy to do mitzvos, right? And if you have this mindset, so grab as many mitzvos as you can, you'll be a zariz, right? You have the mashal, the famous mashal of the Chavetz Chaim, right? If he's talking about Shmiras HaLashon, but if you're picking up gems, right, on a beach, right? He uses that mashal to say, like, yeah, a person thinks, I'll never be able to stop saying Lashon Hara completely. So the Chavetz Chaim is like, yeah, but you should try and not say Lashon Hara sometimes. Right, he gives the example. This is what I'm saying: that if a person's walking on the beach and you have diamonds all over the beach, right, you can never get all of them, but you should definitely try and pick up some of them. So that's the same idea, right? Get as much as you can, right, and as fast as you can, right, as many as you can, right. Be careful not to drop any, right. So that's the same thing over here: that a person should just chop mitzvos as soon as they can, right. Put in the effort and get as much as you can. And if you think about it, and it says Ramchal, a fascinating psychological insight right over here. Let's say a person is not inherently energetic and excited and ready to jump and do mitzvahs, right? So he says that just like, right, a person who is motivated will act with zrizos, so a person who acts with zrizos will become motivated, right? Again, just like we talked about before, a person's actions and their outer efforts, right, impact their thoughts, impact their personality. If you act with zrizos, then you will become more motivated. So says the Ramchal, if you're not feeling it, fake it, right? Fake the excitement, fake the enthusiasm, right? If a person behaves in a lazy manner, they will feel lazy. If a person behaves in an excited manner or puts in energy or says this is going to be great and goes and does something, so then they will inevitably become, right, more excited. Right? We know that Rachman Alibaboy, the Kosh Baruch, who wants our hearts, Hashem wants us to yearn, but not everybody's so firm. Right? Not everybody has that tzama nafshi lelukim, like the Ramchal quotes over here. Right? God bless those people, but not all of us are so frum, just to use the vernacular. So incredible piece of advice is the Ramchal for people who don't necessarily have that fire burning inside of them. Right? If you're not psyched to go on this NCSY Shabbaton, just to use that example again. So fake the ruach for the first meal, and things will pick up. Right? He says over here, just in the last paragraph here on page Memhei, Ki atnua hachitzona meoreres hapnimis. Right? The actions, the outer actions, drive and give a fire to the inner thoughts. Right? And a person definitely has more control over their outer actions than their inner thoughts. Right? If you don't understand why you should daven, so just do it. And you'll hopefully start to understand. Pick something to study, but get up and go. Right? Same with learning. Same with chesed. Right? If you wait around for your insides to pick up, right, that's not happening. Right? A person doesn't just get, very rarely does a person just get motivated get inner motivation out of nowhere. So he says, get up and do things. Get up and going. Right? The yearning will come. Right? The fire, the flame, the excitement will come. Right? It's much easier to build external habits and do external actions than to change internal feelings. And as he ends off, right, once you do something that's within your capacity, right, you have the actions, you have the ability to affect and put in the effort to affect your actions. So then once you do what's within your capacities, then you will acquire what's beyond your capacity. And finally, I just want to point out one beautiful hara that he says. It almost throws in an extra word here, but it's so crucial. I'm five lines up on the last paragraph on page Memhei. Right? After a person goes and does this and gets up and goes and uses this midah of zrizos, ki tivaleid bo hasimcha hapnimis v'chevetz v'chemda. He says that a person will have not only the desire and the fire, but the inner simcha, a simcha pnimis, inner joy, which is amazing because it creates an inner, not only an inner excitement and a desire and an enthusiasm, but it's an inner joy. A lot of people think that they're unable to be happy, right? For whatever reason, they're unable to affect their happiness. He says it's not true. So a person goes and puts in effort, their external actions will impact their internal joy. And then you'll have like this simcha, right? The simcha zachayim, it's a shem, that the mitzvos that we know that a Torah life can give us. All right, shkoyach gadol, everybody. That was a little bit longer than usual, but I think it was worth it to get through those two prakim. Great to see everybody. We'll see you next week. And again, now that we have this...